Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show brought to you by GoPSURV.com. As promised, the great Mark Brennan from Fight on State joins us now. We've talked an ample amount of time over the past couple weeks, and certainly today as well, just about the state of Penn State's program and transfers and where all this is going. No better person to join us now to talk about all that stuff right now than Mark. How are you this morning?
It's great to be here, Dustin. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you. Well, you know, you've experienced a lot on the Penn State beat, and I'm sure you've got some perspective on, you know, just where things are and whether you should or shouldn't be alarmed about transfers. Let me start along those lines with the news that Lamont Wade is coming back. What did you think about that?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because on the 24/7 network, they actually created this thing called the Transfer Portal Tracker. And I don't mean to be plugging something. It's a really cool thing where you go and you can see all the people who are in the transfer portal, and, you know, have they graduated? Have they not graduated? When will they be eligible? And, you know, the one thing we haven't put in there yet is guys who have committed to going back to their school. And I think you're going to see more and more of that. I don't know necessarily with these Penn State transfers, but having been around the program for a while, and it's funny because I've talked to some former players about this who have reached out to me and said, what's going on with all these transfers? I said, well, imagine when you were playing, had this transfer portal been there, how many people would have been in it and maybe ended up coming back? And I just think it's an eye into what has always happened behind the scenes at college football programs. That, you know, kids are unhappy with playing time, or maybe they read the writing on the wall, they're a veteran player and realize that, you know what, I'm going into my fifth year, I've graduated, it looks like I may not be playing a whole heck of a lot, maybe I want to go somewhere and get the most out of my final year playing wise. But I think the difference now is that once you're in that transfer portal, it gets out and all of a sudden people know it. So I think the interesting thing to watch from here on out, Dustin, is going to be how many guys do decide to kind of test the water and then come back. The thing about Lamont Wade, and, you know, you have Greg and the folks there who have covered him forever. He's a very dynamic personality. So he's the kind of guy who he's not going to mind going back to Penn State. And if people rip him on Twitter or whatever, he doesn't care. People have been ripping him on Twitter left and right for his whole life. Or since he's been on Twitter, not really his whole life. I don't think he was on Twitter as a child. But I think that's going to be the interesting part to see as this goes along. Once you're in there, in the past, people would consider transferring and nobody would ever know about it. I remember Kajana Carter telling me a story about when he was a true freshman at Penn State and he was miserable. And he was telling everybody he was going to transfer and it never really happened. Well, now these players have the ability to put their names in this portal. And even though I guess it's supposed to be private, it's not. It's going to get out and people are going to learn about it. So that's the whole different dynamic. And I wonder just how many people are going to feel they can come back after their name's out there and fans have kind of gotten on them for leaving, you know, that sort of thing. So I guess my thought about this is we have to see how this sort of plays out. But I don't think it's a lot of people are like, my goodness, what's going on? I think if you look at the vast majority of players who are in there, for Penn State especially, they're not guys who were figuring prominently as key players in the next year or so. You know, Juwan Johnson is the one guy who I think you would look at and say he really had an opportunity to do some things. But then again, he's coming off of a disappointing season, and maybe he's looking at it as, you know, I may have to fight for playing time in my fifth year, and I don't know that I want to do that when I have a chance at a pro career with my size and my athletic ability. So I know that probably took up about, half of our 12 and a half minutes here, but that's my answer. I'm sticking to it.
It was a good – you know how when you read something and it's like – 8,000 words like a Dave Jones column, but it reads like it's 500. That's what just happened here. And for the record, you are allowed to plug. Plugging is okay. And I wanted to bring up the 24/7 transfer portal monitor anyway, because, You know, when I saw that, number one, I think it's really, really smart because this is not going anywhere. This is going to be a fundamental part of college football moving forward. So having a way to organize and be able to kind of bring those rumors or confirmations or whatever into one place, you guys won the race to get there. And that was smart thinking from a business standpoint, I thought. It also hit home to me, and this is the when I first saw this rolled out, I thought, this is – you know, this is just another stage of recruiting, you know, coaches needing to recruit not only their own players, but to be able to court and land guys from other programs, too. It's a whole nother type of movement and another responsibility for the head coach.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the things, you know, it's funny because during the college football season, we have access to James Franklin like 15 times a week. And this is where I'd really like to get him on the record about, you know, not just his thoughts, but how other coaches are thinking about this. Cause you're right. You know, from us, from a business perspective, the early signing period is pretty cool because all of a sudden, you know, you get more traffic in December, but then it hurts our traffic in January because so many Penn State commitments sign in December. So this whole transfer thing, I don't mean to say that we're capitalizing on it, but you kind of do. But it's there, and if you don't cover it, somebody else is going to cover it. So from a business perspective, it's a good thing. From a player perspective, I wonder. I mean, and this is the one thing that I really wonder about, and I touched on it before. Again, before you used to be able to have a thought of transferring and maybe even – be clear to transfer and nobody would ever know about it. Now, all of a sudden, the whole world knows about it. And I don't know that they necessarily took that into account when they came up with these rules. I don't have a better answer for it, but I agree with you. Now that this Pandora's box is open, I don't know how they close it. Because it's, you're going to have kids jumping into this thing year after year after year after year, and it's amazing because you see, I mean, the kid at USC, that is like almost mind-boggling that the kid signs in December and he's in a transfer portal in January.
Yeah, it's, and I think that's going to be another part of the, you know, there's all kinds of stuff that we just don't have. We're just scratching the surface. And one of those areas is, you know, you're going to have an adjustment from a player's perspective. You know, you're going to have seen these guys go through what they're going through. And that might give you pause to, you know, okay, this is not as private as I thought it was going to be. So maybe that's going to impact the numbers later. Maybe there's going to be more safeguards to try to keep this private, although I don't know how you prevent leaks from coaches who can gain strategically by leaking. And I think it was Audrey Snyder brought that up too. We don't know that Penn State has more guys in the portal than other programs. We just seem to know more of them, and I wonder why that is.
Yeah, I don't know. And the other thing that I would suggest here is that, I mean, everybody's like, oh my God, there were 10 guys in the portal, you know? Yeah, but I mean, if you're counting Irv Charles, you know, if you're counting Manny Bowen, guys who are out of the program, and then the other dynamic that comes into play is for years and years and years, if somebody was entering their fifth year in the program and it looked like they didn't have an opportunity to play, you know, they may be told that you're probably not getting a whole lot of playing time. I guess what I'm getting at is I wonder how many of these players who are in there may have had meetings with the coaching staff and didn't hear what they wanted to hear in terms of how much playing time they were going to get and that sort of thing, and then decided to move on. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I think a great example is a guy like Brandon Polk. I mean, clearly, you look at where their receiver core is and how he struggled this year. You know, first of all, the guy was tremendous as a hustle guy on special teams. You know, every frame game photo breakdown I did, you would see him as one of the hustle guys on special teams. Was great for the program, committed at a tough time. But here he is going into his fifth year, had clearly been passed on the depth chart by a lot of younger players. This is a win-win for him and the program in the sense that, you know, sure, you'd love to have him around for special teams, but if you're not going to get an awful lot of playing time, go play somewhere else. I mean, I think that's actually a good thing for him. He's been great for the program. He graduated. You know, go and play, and, you know, and I think you leave on good terms. I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all. I think it's actually a positive for everybody because he's going to end up being happy in the long run. I think the more difficult part is for the younger players who make that move. And I think you saw it with Lamont Wade. It's a much different thing when you haven't graduated and you're going to have to go somewhere and sit out for a year. That's a whole different ballgame.
Well, and here's where I think, you know, James Franklin has made it clear that he wants to create a program where guys graduate in 3 to 3.5 years. And in doing so, yeah, at this time where mobility is at an all-time high in college football, you do create this situation where you're probably going to have as many, if not more than other programs, guys who have 2 years of eligibility left who are able to transfer as grad transfers.
Right. And if you think about it, extend that, it would actually be to the program's benefit, wouldn't it?
If
they weren't promoting these kids enrolling early and graduating early.
Yeah.
But that's not going to happen because I do think, listen, we could say all we want about, you know, what James Franklin's ultimate motivations are. But I don't think anybody can deny that he's made a commitment to academics and to graduating these kids. You know, not as quickly as possible because that doesn't sound quite right, but to getting these kids to graduate. And that becomes part of the recruiting pitch then too, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That, hey, listen, you know, you're going to get your degree, and if things aren't working out here in 4 years, 3.5, 4 years, you're going to have an opportunity to go somewhere else. Now, I don't think that they're actually saying that, but I think kids are savvy enough these days to realize that, listen, if I graduate, then I'm going to give myself more opportunities. And that's one of the really cool things I think the NCAA did. I really like that rule where if you graduate, you can go and play somewhere immediately because you're rewarding somebody for doing well in school. And that's ultimately what all this should be all about.
It should be. It should be. And I think, you know, turning the roster over is not really a bad thing from a program perspective. And I do think flexibility and giving players flexibility is a good thing. And that's what's happening here. I'm not sure if it's quite how James Franklin envisioned it, but that's how it's unfolding now with this transfer portal. I want to shift gears. We got like 20 seconds, so I just want to get a short answer from you. The state of Penn State basketball, what where do they go from here?
Yeah, they have to scrape out a win somewhere. You know, I've been arguing with Dave back and forth. He thinks there could be a move coming up. I just don't know that after you sign somebody last year that you're going to make it that quickly. I don't think they'll be willing to eat that much of whatever buyout there may be. But that loss to Rutgers was absolutely a difficult one. And this is about as low as it gets for them at this point.
There you go. Mark Brennan from Fight On State joining us here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. We got more Penn State basketball coming up. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.